Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Tampa, Florida. I'm your host, Carson Mathis, with the theme of the show is to give raw, uncut, and unedited objective analysis on major college and pro football. Let me introduce the panel. Big Tex, what's up?
What's going on, bud?
All right, man. Cali Mike, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? We're getting to that in-game time. Let's get to it.
All right, man. Chi-Town Mike, what's up?
What's going on, everybody? Wow. What a finish of the... You know, the college football now, it's all about talking and a lot of talk tonight. I'm ready.
Yeah, we're going to be here for the next 2 hours. If you want to call in, please call us at 347-237-5539. This is CMT Firestorm. We will be here for another 2 hours again. Let's recap college football. Let's start off. There's a lot of stuff to talk about this week. Alabama versus Georgia. Let's do a recap of the game. Alabama won the game. Came down to the last play of the game. And what's your thoughts about the game? What does it say about, you know, SEC in general? What does that say? Let me start with you, Kelly, Mike.
It was a good game. Classic hard-fought SEC bring to the top of the game. Georgia did good. But, it says something, like I said, I've been seeing a lot of games this year. Haven't really ended that.
At the end of the game, a lot of 2-minute drives that I didn't think really went that well. The end of the game really came down to, clock management. Like I said, it was that one misguided play by the wide receiver to catch that ball. Really, like I said, really that whole 15 seconds was kind of, I thought they should have downed the ball. And they would have got at least 2 chances to throw it into the end zone. I don't know what was going on there. But like I said, we've seen a lot of these games, whether it be Pitt versus Notre Dame, come down to, last 2 minutes and teams just don't perform right. But, like I said, it was a good game. Alabama, they're a worthy team for the national championship game, and I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Let me hear what you got to say, Chi-Town. What you got to say?
Well, I listened to the game on the radio, and it was a real good game. I heard fall from the top in the beginning, but like I was hearing, what Mike was saying, about the end of, I heard about some play calling, like they thought how it was bad clock management at the end for Georgia. I don't know what they were doing. Actually, I didn't see the footage of it, so I'm just going by what I was told and heard. It was a heck of a game, man. I go back to that play where McCarron made that big play for the touchdown. I was like, wow. The way everything was seen in the moment, everything was kind of going Georgia, gained, momentum. Like, they might be the new SEC champions, but yeah, it was a heck of a game, though. Georgia should, even though they lost, they got all the way to an SEC championship, I agree. They should be in the BCS bowl game.
All right. Tex, what's your opinion before I give mine?
I thought it was a grown man football game. Georgia, they played exactly like how I kind of figured they play. I mean, I think I might have said it before. I think to a man, from a raw athlete perspective, I think I still believe they have the best group in America. They really pushed Alabama. They put the hat on, and you know they said they wasn't going to get beat. Now they ended up getting beat, but I was impressed by what I saw from Georgia. I think they're a top 3-4 team in the nation. It's too bad they can't go to a BCS bowl. I also think that you kind of both teams are kind of they'll experience some drop off going into next year. But I think you got a glimpse of the future a little bit with T.J. Yeldon and Todd Gurley. Amari Cooper.
Yeah, you say his name now, right?
both teams will drop off a little bit because they'll lose their quarterbacks. But, Joy, it was a great game. Georgia played well. I think the winner of the BCS title game was, you know, came out of that game. If Georgia wins, I think they go win the BCS title. I think Alabama will win the BCS title. But I'm excited to see where they go next year and the 2 years after that, because if things keep going the way they're going, and I told Mike this, about another 2 years, man, you're going to be, you look at that top 10 and top 5, I mean, you might have Gurley and Yeldon off in there along with the guy down in Miami, Duke Johnson. All three freshmen, awesome talent. So we'll just have to see where it goes.
Well, my take on this game, I thought Alabama would win this game, and I kind of realized that when Georgia played Georgia Tech last week, and it all boiled down to what I was talking about with you, Tex, earlier this season when they played Tennessee. When Tennessee ran the ball straight up on them, 10 straight plays when they played Tennessee. You remember that, Tex? We were talking about that. I said, Georgia,
yeah,
they can't stop the, they can't stop the run now. They can't stop the run.
Bama can't either then, you know? I mean,
they were not. Hold. Now, I'll give you this. Gurley, he got his 100 yards, and that's very impressive. That's very impressive. That says he could probably be a pro back, because he was the only one I know that ran over 100 yards against Alabama, because Georgia was not running up and down the field on Alabama like that, like Alabama was running up and down the field on Georgia. I mean, Alabama had like 350-some yards of rushing against Georgia.
Man,
Gurley
was running that rock, man. Don't take away
he
from
was, he got. He got his 100 yards. He got a tough 100 yards, but he got his 100 yards. I'll give you that, Tex. Gurley's a stud. But what I'm saying is Georgia's rush defense was a lot worse than Alabama's rush defense. Can you admit to that?
Clausell. Both teams got punked on the ground, man.
No, Tex, you can't get away from that. Oh, no.
Gurley didn't punk them boys on the ground. To be SEC tough, both of them got ran on, man. That's the honest.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. This is what I'm just saying. Alabama led over 100 yards. This is like, I think, the first time they did that. First and second time they did that this year. Whereas Georgia has been consistently ran on all year. That's the difference, Tex. That's the point I'm saying. Georgia has been consistently ran on all year. That's why they didn't win that game. That's the only. I'm sorry. What'd you say?
I said, didn't Johnny Manziel run for over 100 yards on Alabama?
Yeah, I said. That's what I said. The first or second time. That's what I said. Whatever, man. The point I'm making is this is the point I'm making here. I knew Georgia would lose the game because at the end of the day, consistently this year they could not stop the run. Consistently, They couldn't stop the run. That's why they lost the game. And that's why, and I knew that last week when they played Georgia Tech, was Georgia Tech was moving the ball against them. Even though they couldn't score any points, they were still moving the ball in terms of running the ball against Georgia. And now, don't get me wrong, they got studs up front now. They got the athletes to stop the run. But in terms of the scheme and actual doing it, they weren't able to do it. And they're not able to stop the run consistently, whereas Alabama, they'll have, like, spurts or whatnot. Some people, like Mike said, Johnny Manziel, I don't know if he – did he really? I don't know. I got to look at stats up about that. Johnny Manziel, I think LSU had over 100 yards rushing against Alabama, and I think Georgia had over 100 yards rushing against Alabama. Those, I think, are the only three teams this year that has ran over 100 yards against Alabama. It's Georgia. A lot of teams have ran over 100 yards against Georgia. So
well, both teams got ran on. I mean, we're talking about one game. We knew Bama would run the ball. We figured Alabama figured Georgia had the backs to run the rock. I don't look at it like, okay, Alabama rushed for 350 yards and that's it. I mean, Georgia had success running the ball. Both teams were successful running the ball.
Okay, both teams had over 100 yards rushing against the other. Yes. The difference is Alabama has a record of stopping the run. Georgia did not have a good record of stopping the run. That's the difference. And that's why Georgia lost the game. That's my opinion. I mean, Alabama had Amari Cooper, Marquise Lee Jr., like I always say. He's Marquise Lee Jr. You know, he made a big play when it counted. So
how are you going to be a junior if somebody who still plays in college football? Who's your same age? Come on, now, not the same dude.
He's the same talent level as Marquise Lee. I believe so. I believe Amari Cooper is in the same talent level as Marquise Lee. Yes, I do. I believe that's just my opinion. I think the difference. The only difference is AJ McCarron and Matt Barkley. I mean, if Amari Cooper was with Matt Barkley or had a Matt Barkley type of quarterback, I mean, you'd be looking just like Marquise Lee. I really believe that. That's just my opinion. I mean, hey, it's whatever. You don't have to believe it. But I mean, the point of the matter is Georgia. They couldn't stop a run. That's basically why they lost the game, and that was their Achilles heel for the whole season right there. I mean, they're obviously a top four team, but you know. That's the difference between them not being in the national championship game, basically, right there. They couldn't shore up that run defense. But anyway, any other comments on that? You got a comment on that, Tex?
Comment on what?
Exactly.
All right, guys, whatever. All right, next topic here.
Hey, I have to ask you this.
What's the question?
You comparing Marquise Lee to... Oh, you're comparing Amari Cooper to Marquise Lee. But
yes.
When's the last time, like, a great wide receiver came out of Alabama?
Not many. Ozzie Newsome, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, David Palmer. David Palmer. David Palmer was pretty good. David Palmer was pretty
Who?
Good. David Palmer.
Third down running back return man for the Vikings.
Yeah, you talking about him. That's Country's cousin, by the way, too.
No, the point. I mean, it's whatever. I mean, USC has had. I mean, I don't understand. What are you getting at with this, Texan? What's your point?
I'm not getting at anything. I'm just asking. We comparing him to Marquise Lee, and I want to know when the last time somebody so special came out of Alabama, a wide receiver, where we.
So you trying to tell me? Okay. Then are you trying to tell me? Hold on. Are you trying to tell me, Tex, that Marquise is an average player? Then is that? I mean, are you trying to say that Amari Cooper is an average player?
I'm not saying.
Is he an above average player? Is he an above average player?
No, I think Marquise Lee is a playmaker. He's a.
You don't think Amari Cooper is a playmaker? You don't think Amari Cooper is a playmaker? Yeah,
playmaker, but he's not Marquise Lee.
I mean, okay, but look at the quarterback. Okay, the point I'm making is look at the quarterback. Look at the quarterback that
Marquise Lee has, and
look at the quarterback that Amari Cooper has. That's the point I'm making. Look at the quarterback.
I'd buy it if you say a system. If you compare you can't compare quarterbacks and have that argument in wash, man. If you say system. If you go, okay, this is
okay,
Bama in
a run balance
offense. Huh?
I say both. I say quarterbacks and system. I mean, AJ McCarron is more of a game manager. But you can see when you get the ball to Marquise Lewis, he can make a play. He makes plays. That's what I'm saying. He can make plays.
All quarterbacks are game managers. They all manage the game. Some pass one another. They all, man.
Tex, come on, man. You know what I'm talking about, Tex. Come on, man.
No, I do, but I'm just being serious. They all manage the game. But McCarron's not garbage. He's not great. I mean, is Barkley great?
Is he a gunslinger? Barkley's a gunslinger. McCarron is not a gunslinger. Okay. Can you at least give me that text? Is that not necessarily true? I want to move on to the next topic.
I was gonna add this. It's funny we talking about
is fan talk, gunslinger, and that's fan talk. You know what I'm saying? That's the stuff that we made that up, or somebody made that up. I don't know.
Whatever, man. We just have to agree to disagree. I knew you were going to disagree anyway, but it's just whatever.
People made that term up for Brett Favre a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
All right. What you got to say, Shottown? You have something to say, Shottown?
I said it's funny we talking about was the last receiver that that came out of Alabama though, but when we had this conversation that and in the last week's show we were talking about what about Mr. Good Old Julio Jones?
Julio Jones. He came out of Alabama. I mean, did he have great stats at Alabama? No. But look at what he's doing now in the league. He's a pretty good player. So I'm just saying.
I mean, that's because he's a physical dynamo though, dude. I mean, what are you trying to say? I mean, he's not. We're talking about college. I mean,
No, he asked me. No, we're spinning off. He's asked who's the great receiver that came out of Alabama, and then Mike Shottown brought up.
Julio Jones. He was going to be a pro prospect. You could tell that in high school. He wasn't a great wide receiver at Alabama.
No, he wasn't. So that's why I didn't say his name. I said David Palmer. David Palmer was a great receiver at Alabama, you know. And I think Amari Cooper would be.
Because we're getting too far off. Let me ask another question. How do you think that you can – I mean, how far can Georgia put Mark Richt? Because to me, like I said, even though they made the SEC championship this year, they're highly ranked. It seems like Georgia always comes up a day late and a dollar short. How much longer – you know, can they at least, I mean, even if they went to the national championship, it'll be different. But how much longer can they continue with Mark Richt? Because I don't think they can keep going with this guy. I don't think he has it in him to coach a team all the way to the national championship.
I'll say this, add this, though. It's funny. I mean, this type of season was just one of those seasons. Remember, I was saying this about a month ago. I mean, if Richt didn't beat Florida, you know, how Georgia was being ranked in the preseason in the top five, that he was going to be out, and then Georgia beat Florida, then all that Mark Richt talk about, you know, is he the guy for the job for Georgia or not, you know, ended. But then now they got to the SEC championship again and they lose and all this and all that. So, really, I mean, that's a good question, Calvin Mike. I mean, if they're going to make a change, I know we saw the name, it's been talked about it already. If they're going to make the change and Georgia don't believe in Richt, if I'm Georgia, then I'll look at going at Bobby Petrino then. If they know they're not going to keep Richt and they need to change, I would look at Bobby Petrino. Or if they want to go defense, go at Charlie Strong, which Tennessee, I heard was his top, you know, top choice is Charlie Strong, but I heard now that he turned it down. He wants to stay in Louisville.
Louisville is extending him.
What's your take on the text? I think they should just keep Mark Richt. I mean, it's kind of a tough situation.
I think he kind of beating Florida and then pushing Alabama like he did. He kind of, I guess he balked a little bit at time. You see what I'm saying? And it's going to be tough for them to keep it up next year, but they still have some talent. But he bought himself a little bit of time.
Georgia always does that, though. And think about how talented this team is. This is a national championship talent team they got right now. They're not going to get another quarterback like Aaron Murray, you know, who, in any time soon. You know, he's a good quarterback. If he'd have a better season, he still might peek into the first round this year. You know, I mean, how many years? I mean, look at the teams they've had over the years and the players they've had over the years.
I mean, it's, you know, it's like I say, it's almost to the point like, okay, when is it going to bear fruit? You know, I mean, how many times can you, you know, get there? Like I say, get there and be a day late and a dollar short.
I agree. And while you're talking about the talent they had, I was just looking at their rosters since Mark Richt has been there, and it's just ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
I mean, it's stupid, you know.
They're not gonna get. I don't think they should get rid of him. I mean, at least he's making them relevant, man. I mean, before
I think,
he was
I mean,
there,
I
mean, they weren't relevant.
But let's say this and be real. Georgia. Since the time Mark Richt has, can you really name how many teams have had more talent since Mark Richt has been in Georgia and you know in the SEC? Maybe Florida, and that's it.
Yeah.
So y'all, I mean, I'm back now. So Tex, you were saying something that I said, Charlie Strong. So how you feel about? Are you saying Rick should be, Georgia should be looking for a new head coach?
I mean, it's up to them. I mean, they can't seem to get over the hump. I mean, you have to be careful about switching programs. I mean, switching coaches if you have a foundation. But Rick, he has to get somewhere soon. He's not getting anywhere where they need to be. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I think he bought him some time. But if he has a season where he's losing 4 or 5 games, then they'll probably make a change. But I think that's what it's going to take.
And this thing, like you said, they're losing Aaron Murray this year. They got another stud quarterback. I can't think of his name right now. He was a.
You think Murray's going? You think Murray is going, Mike?
He's a senior.
No, he's a junior.
Aaron Murray?
He's a junior. Yeah, he's a junior.
Aaron Murray came in the same year as Matt Barkley.
I don't think so, man. I think he's a year. Yeah, he's a year after Matt Barkley.
Check that out. But
he's a year after Matt Barkley.
Even before,
he's a redshirt junior.
I was going to say, but you're right about the Georgia, the talent level there, because even when Matt Stafford and them boys were there, I mean, it was some talent there at that team. And then, you know, I thought, honestly, Stafford should have stayed another year, but he went and left.
They didn't have Stafford. You know, remember when they had David Green and they was winning? You know, I think David Green was like the most winning quarterback in college football, wasn't he?
I know he was like in the like, winning quarterback in the SEC.
Yeah. You don't want that, but you know, like I said, they didn't have a squad, you know, and they had David Pollock, and you know, and I mean, they had too many opportunities, in my opinion, and you know, when he got there, expectations were real high, and it seems like they just never, you know, it's never come to fruition.
He's been there now. I mean, he's been there now for a decade now. I mean, he's been over there now over 10 years.
So, I mean, that's a long time.
Well, I mean, I personally think he should just stay. I mean, who are they going to get that's going to replace him? Who can they get that's better?
How much longer can you keep putting up with that though?
Another year or two, and I think that'll be it.
I was gonna say too. I just thought about this. They were saying about Mike Gundy. They said Mike Gundy gonna stay at Oklahoma State, but if they gonna make a change, I could be a guy they could look at. He's an offensive mind coach. Because they said Tennessee and Arkansas were floating that on him, but they say he's gonna stay at Oklahoma State. That's what they say right now. But we should see.
Hold on, and really, you're kind of directing us into the next conversation here. We want to talk about like these coaching changes here. We'll go there first, and then we'll go back to Alabama and Notre Dame, but. Arkansas has been occupied by the guy from Wisconsin. What do you think about that hire, Tex, the Arkansas hire? Do you have any opinion on that?
I think Belima, I think it's a step up for him. I think at the best he can do for Wisconsin, that ceiling is not as high as what he could do at Arkansas. He's getting more money. It's a better job. You have better talent surrounding your state. If he can recruit and get people there, he can build a program. He better because he's not all that good of a coach. So he needs to be able to recruit. But the ceiling at Arkansas, I mean, is higher than it is at Wisconsin. So I don't think it's a bad move, but he's got to, you know, he's got to come on with it, man. He, you know, he's, like I said, he's not all that good of a coach, so he's going to have
to recruit. I mean, you know, even with three straight Big Ten championships, you don't think that was a good coach?
He's
Big Ten. He won the Big Ten championship this year. I mean, this, that team was well under expectations this year. I mean, that wasn't, I mean, this was a Big Ten championship by default, really. If, you know, if Penn State and Ohio State would have been eligible, they wouldn't, you know, Wisconsin, I think they're 7-5?
Yeah, 8-5 or something like that, so yeah.
Yeah, 8-5.
7-5 and won the Big Ten.
Exactly.
All right. Well, what y'all think about,
I was going to say that too, Clydesdale. I mean, yesterday when I had broadcasted, I mean, said it on Facebook, I should say, I was kind of stunned and shocked. I didn't think Brett Bielema was going to go to, you know, Arkansas. His name just never surfaced like that, and boom. But, hey, sometimes a change is needed. You know, he felt, you know, he wanted to go to the SEC, to Arkansas. He'd been there. He did his time there. And, hey, sometimes change is good. So I think that was definitely a big-time hire for Arkansas, and I think he's going to get it done there in Arkansas.
I think the move is good for Brett Bielema, but I can't see how it's going to be in the best interest of Arkansas. Like Tech said, I don't think he's that good of a coach. I mean, pretty much, you know, he's you know, pretty much even in Wisconsin, he rode Barry Alvarez's coattails for, you know, 3 years now. I mean, he's, you know. And, you know, and I mean, I can't, you know, I just don't see it being that good of a hire for him. You know, I think he's going to get overwhelmed when, you know, when he sees a different style of play. Two completely different styles of play is what he was doing in Wisconsin to what he's going to need to do to succeed in the SEC at Arkansas, especially with the way that team is set up, you know.
That's true.
I mean, it's a good hire for him because he's going to get more money and more exposure. But, you know, I don't see how, you know, I don't see how that's going to really help Arkansas.
Well, what about the other cult hires? I mean, like, for example, Tennessee has a coaching vacancy. Who do you think should go to Tennessee?
Oof. You got to find somebody that want to go to Tennessee, man. You got to find somebody that want to go there.
Yeah.
Charlie Strong, I mean, he's the top of the list, but Charlie Strong – he's going to stay in Louisville. They're already working out a deal to get him, you know, extension to stay in Louisville, you know. And Tennessee was going to pay him, man, $3.5 million, and he's making about two-something million now. So they wanted to probably bump it up a little bit more, but already trying to make him working on an extension. But he don't want to go to Tennessee.
All right. Well, I mean, we had a very good conversation last night on the Cold Hard Truth, and we were talking about Bobby Petrino, and I knew he wasn't going to go to Auburn because of his extramarital affairs. And Auburn, Tommy Tuberville was removed because of an extramarital affair under the scenes. A lot of boosters say nobody knows that. But I thought a place that he could go was USF, University of South Florida, to try to put himself back on the map. I want to know what y'all think about that before I put in James. James is on the line right here. I want to know what y'all think about that.
Like I said on Facebook, fake scandals in Tampa go hand in hand. So he fit right at home.
He fit right at home, yeah.
He fit right in. I don't see any problem with that. I mean, I think, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they'll be saying for your team and for your fans. I mean, yes, he's a good coach, but he's, like I say, what, you know, they're really, he really hasn't, you know, had any kind of discipline for him. I mean, besides losing his job, it's like pretty much he'd be looking at just like an extended vacation. I mean, what can he, you know, at this point, that outrage? You know, I mean, how can he discipline any of his players? No discipline, no life.
How can he discipline any, in regards to the football? In the context of the football arena, he can discipline his players. But you talking about in regards to? You talking about just as far as conduct?
And you see that he can't even control his own life. Especially when you're a high school, you know, especially you're a college kid. Like, come on. Huh? I'd go to become an analyst for a couple of years. Let him calm down. You know, but
ain't no analyst. He ain't gonna get no analyst position. You know, you think ESPN would give him an analyst position or somebody like that?
Hey, ESPN, I mean, he's going to be an analyst anytime, you know, but I mean, I guess I let my name calm down first, you know, and
I think you're breaking up, Mike. What you got to say, Shottown?
I was going to say this, though. What about Tennessee? Why aren't Tennessee's probably should try to go hard at Bobby Petrino?
No, man, they're not going to do that. Because he has to prove himself first at a lower-level school before he get back to the big time. I think he has to do that. Tennessee's not going to hire him. Not with these, like, that's a red state, man. That's a red state. That's Bible Belt. What you got to say? You got something to say about that text before I put James on?
No, I don't have anything to say, man. Petrino, he probably shouldn't get a job, but whatever. He'll get one somewhere. He'll probably go down there, like Mike said, to Tampa or somewhere. But he's not. I mean, he probably should go to Tennessee because it's not like he can pick his job. I mean, is he at liberty to pick his job? You know, Tennessee might be the better job, but I mean. But still, you got to find somebody to go there. I mean, who wants to go to Tennessee? It's bad when Petrino, I mean, if he takes, I mean, he's just going to look bad if he goes to South Florida or somewhere else before he goes to Tennessee. That just tells you about their program.
Why would you say it would be bad if he went to South Florida? No, you said he'd be bad if he goes to South Florida before he goes to Tennessee. I'm thinking, like, Tennessee's not going to offer him a job. So there'll be some lower-level schools that would offer him a job, like USF, some other schools that need some vacancies, some lower mid-level schools, non-BCS schools. And so he can prove himself at those lower-level schools for maybe 1 or 2 years and then get himself back to the major league.
You don't think Tennessee would offer him a job?
No. I may be wrong, but I don't think Tennessee's going to offer him a job, no.
Hey, and notice you haven't heard anything about anybody interviewing for the job? I haven't heard anything.
Whatchamacallit interviewed Gundy, but he took the job. He's staying at Oklahoma State.
He interviewed at Tennessee?
Arkansas and Tennessee, they did say that.
Yeah, I'm like, he played for Oklahoma State. He wasn't going nowhere. Hold on, I want to put James online here. Let me put him online here, see what he has to say about this.
But Texas is right. They don't have nobody. Nobody's not linked to Tennessee right now.
Somebody's going to take that job. Hold on. James, you're on.
All right, I got two things here. One about the USF job and the second about being a in Arkansas. Well, in reference to USF, like I said yesterday, number one, I don't think that's the type of job that, you know, Petrino would look for. And on the flip side, I don't know if USF would be able to have the money to put together in order to keep Petrino there for more than 1 or 2 years. It was like you said, I mean, if he's going to take a job at USF just to get into a bigger program, I mean, he's just going to be there for 2 years and, you know, come up. And I don't think USF really needs that. I think they need, you know, somebody for that program to be there at least, you know, 5 years or so, or at least as long as Leavitt, you know what I'm saying, in order to build a program, build a rapport around the city and the state. So if they stay in the Big East or they move into another conference, then they know they have a coach that can market them up to, you know, that higher profile conference if they're going to join one. Now, in reference to Bielema going to Arkansas, I think that was a bad move on his part. I think he should have stayed in Wisconsin. He's going to the SEC, but remember, he's competing against LSU, Alabama, Auburn, Florida, and so forth as far as, like, getting the recruits, getting the players, and all of that. It wasn't like, you know, Arkansas was getting the high-profile players in that conference anyway. They're amongst the bottom half in recruiting year after year. Or on the flip side, Wisconsin was among the top five in the Big Ten. So he would have had better success at Wisconsin and staying there than to come to Arkansas and seeing if he could do it at the SEC.
Hmm.
Well, one thing about Auburn, though, they kind of going through a transition. I mean, I you guys asked about the Auburn hire, but I know Mike was kind of saying they was gonna hire that guy Gino, whatever his name is, to be the head coach. But so he kind of got some work thinking if it might be a kind of reach.
Well, the thing about Auburn is, on the flip side, you have Auburn that just hired Gus Malzahn, which was an assistant coach at Auburn to begin with. So he pretty much is familiar with the you know, location that he's in. He already has like a couple of recruits there that are pretty much top of the recruiting classes there to start. So at least he knows what his surroundings are, who he has to compete with, and so forth. With Bielema, he has to deal with the Arkansas, what Arkansas's budget is, how much he can travel around the country to get the recruits. And once he figures that out, then he's going to see that he really can't compete with Auburn, Alabama, LSU, Texas A&M, Florida, and so forth.
Yeah, it is a transition. Got about A&M, and we already know Texas A&M. I think in a couple of years, they're going to be right up there because someone, he got the Texas thing on pack right there. He's getting them Texas boys.
Hey, like you said,
as far as this recruiting season is going, I really haven't heard of any major changes coming for them. I think that, I don't know if it's going to come maybe this year, you know, next year or next 2 years, but I haven't heard of any major switches going on, you know, for this year. So I don't know if you heard of that, but I haven't.
You talking about Calamari? You talking about Arkansas? You talking about Texas A&M?
Texas A&M recruiting wise.
Oh yeah, but still, I mean, still crowd under Mac Brown. They still saying, man.
Okay,
you know.
I just don't know how soon it's gonna come. You know, really, like I said, I don't know that much about their facilities. If they, you know, like I say, I don't know, how, you know, how much fun, you know, that program has. You know, but I mean, they are on the come up. That's evident. They're losing. What's that left tackle they got, Lockley? They're going to be losing him this year. That's going to be a big hole to keep the quarterback healthy.
Montre Moore took the defensive end. They'll be losing. I think they're losing, but I think both tackles will be gone.
Really? The other one is Jake Matthews. He
might be. I think even if he's a junior, he's probably going to count.
Yeah, probably.
They got a shot to go first, second round.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
Houston. I ain't going to cut you off, Clausel.
Ex-USC four-star recruit. He's trying to go to Alabama now. I just want to let you know that. Also,
ooh,
another four-star recruit.
Oh, that's the guy.
Clausel did
post that on Facebook about that.
I'm looking at it right here. It's called Eldridge Mashington. Just want to let you know that, Kelly Mike. I'm looking at it here on the feed right here. Houston Nutt maybe up for the USF job. Real quick on USF. What you think about that, James? Houston Nutt. He was interviewed.
I think that's a possibility. I think they might. I mean, as far as like the highest profile coach they can get, I think Houston Nutt would probably be that guy.
Really? You think Houston Nutt would be that guy for USF? I don't want to stay on USF too much, but I'm just saying. Do you really think so?
I don't know.
I
don't know if Houston Nutt would take the job, but I think that as far as a possible candidate, that's probably the highest profile guy that USF could probably reach for. I don't think that, you know, Petrino would be someone that USF would be interested in pulling in compared to Houston Nutt.
Okay.
I was going to say, since it's funny that about Nutt, though, I'd be kind of a, you know what I'm saying, it'd be kind of be like a downgrade because he was in Arkansas, then to Arkansas, to Ole Miss, now he go to, you know, South Florida. I was just saying about that. If Tennessee can't get any of his name, why Tennessee need to try to holler at Houston Nutt? I mean, Houston Nutt is not that bad of a coach. I mean, he can't get recruits. I mean, I thought he did a good job in Arkansas, but it was just differences between him and the athletic director and probably the president. So, you know, that mutual grief, you know, he moved on. So I think Tennessee need to try to go, you know, look at him too. They can't get nobody else.
Well, I don't know. Another breaking news: Charlie Strong rejected Florida too. I'm not rejecting Florida. He rejected Tennessee. He rejected a Tennessee offer. They offered John Gruden, and they offered Mike Gundy, and they rejected Charlie Strong. So like Tech said, somebody doesn't really want Tennessee. I don't know why, but they're gonna get some
Tennessee. You know, look at what they, you know, like Tech said before. You know, look at what they did to Lane Kiffin. You know, it's tough to be like that in a small town. Even your boy Wiley was talking about it. You know, it's a small town. You know, you got people in your business. You know, I knew Charlie Strong wasn't leaving to go there. If he wasn't gonna be at Florida, I knew he wasn't gonna go there. You know, but I think Tennessee knows right now that they have to make a big splash with a coaching decision. I don't think Houston Nutt is gonna cut it. They gotta start turning their program around. They gotta get, you know, this is gonna be, you know, they already got rid of Fulmer. And Kiffin now Dooley, you know, this is supposed to be one of the premier programs in college football, you know, so they got to get back on track here, and you know, I think they got to make some sort of a splash. I don't know, you know, Gruden could have been it. I don't know what his plans are, but you know, I heard he might even go back to the Raiders, but you know, that's beside the point. But you know, they got to do something big, you know. So I don't know where it's gonna come, but like I said, there's been, you know, especially with some of the other hires that's going on. I knew Gus Malzahn. I knew he was going to fit in either. I thought he was going to go to Arkansas or Auburn. I think he's going to fit in real good at Auburn. You know, I told Quazelle the other day, I give him 2 years. I think they're going to be in contention, you know, for the, you know, for the SEC championship, you know, maybe the national championship contention. He's a really good coach, you know, from everything I've seen of him, you know, from high school on up to college, he's an excellent coach. And, you know, I think he can also turn around Kyle Frazier and turn him into the kind of quarterback that everybody thought he was going to be. You know, and to compete with that, like I say, Tennessee's got to do something. You know, I don't know if Tyler Bray is going to stay around. You know, I don't know if he's a sophomore or a junior or a senior right now.
He's a junior.
But, you know,
he's a junior.
You know, they got to do something. I mean, I might even look at Jeff Tedford. You know, he's leaving Cal. You know, he's a, you know, offensive-minded coach, quarterback guru. You know, somebody like that could fit in there, and, you know, maybe, you know, turn them into, you know, at least a high-powered offense, you know, a high-powered offensive team. So, you know, it's whatever it is, they have to make a splash there.
Hey, Callie, Mike, what team you talking about within 2 years you kind of impressed with? What team you talking about?
Auburn.
Oh, Auburn. Auburn hiring Gus Malzahn.
I got my ref on that. I think they made a good move on it, but – I was going to say, too, I agree with Callie and Mike about Tennessee. They do kind of got to go for a big name because, you know, the Kiffin thing, and they got Dooley, and Dooley was, you know, there for the 2 years. They need a big name or somebody who's arising around on the ranks. But I think a low-profile guy, not going to cut it on that. Somebody big.
Okay.
I mean, or they'll be back down to the bottom, you know, in the same situation they was before they hired, you know, Dooley.
All right. Well, hold on. I want to end this here. I want to direct the conversation now. We know that there is a college playoff in 2 years, 2014. My next question is, I'm going to start with you, Tex. And if anybody wants to call in, make sure you call in 347-237-5539. But the next question is, I want to go into is, if there was a playoff today, who would be your four teams in the playoff right now? The 14 playoff. All right. There's a 14 playoff. Who will be your four teams? Let me start with you, Tex.
That's a difficult question to ask. What kind of credentials does the team have to have?
You want the best four teams. One versus four, two versus three.
All right. probably Notre Dame, Alabama, Georgia, and I don't know, man. That's tough, man. That's tough. Can we say six? If it's four,
man.
I don't know.
No, we're going by the playoff format in 2014.
Goodness.
Wait, hold on. Okay, let me ask you a question. Is this play, man? Is it going to be four teams or four games?
Four teams. Yeah, the 14 playoff. 14 playoff, 2014. If it was today, who would be your four teams in there?
I'll say my four. You know, it's going to be hard, but I'll say Notre Dame, Alabama, K-State got to be in there, and then Oregon. I know it left Georgia out because I did say Georgia's, you know, a BCS team, but, you know, I kind of think it should be six, but going with your with the four, you know, game playoff, whatever, then those are the four teams.
All right, let me bring in James. What's your opinion?
All right, as far as like the four teams I would select,
You want a selection committee?
Right. Alabama would be in there. Notre Dame would be in there by default since they won every game. I put in Oregon and Kansas State. And I choose Oregon over, you know, Georgia and Florida because of their, you know, being in the Pac-10, strength of their overall strength of the conference top to bottom, and their margin of victory. Or margin of defeat, so to speak. I mean.
Okay. I would put, let me go mine before Callie might get text. Notre Dame, Alabama, Georgia, and then Florida. Those are my four teams right there. Three out of the four teams are SEC teams. I think those are the best four teams in the country. Let me go with you, Callie Mike.
I was going to forget to say this, though. I kind of admit, I think Charlie Strong made the right decision to stay at Louisville because they're not, you know, be heading to the ACC. Remember I said this a few months ago. You know, he do his stay in Louisville, ACC. Since he's in the same conference with Miami, Charlie Strong should be Miami's next head coach. I think Miami get him, Miami be back. I told Tex that already, you know, a few months ago on that.
It'd be an interesting pitch right there.
All right. Well, who's your four teams, Cali Mike?
Okay. I would have Notre Dame, Alabama, Oregon, and I would say K-State too. I mean, like I said, I don't know, man. It would be hard for me to do it with four teams. Like I said, it would be hard for me to pick teams. I mean, I'd have to, you know, like I say, in my honest opinion, if you're in a conference, I think you should have to play everybody in that conference. I don't understand why you have a conference and you don't play everybody. You know, to me that's mind-boggling. Like I said, they need to get rid of three or four of these cupcake games that, you know, you see and play, and have each of them play each other, you know, before you even get to a national championship level. I don't, you know, it's, like I say, once again, college football is the only entity in sports that does that, period, where you don't play every team in your own conference. You know, so I don't understand that. But like I say, based on what I would have to pick those four teams. You know, Oregon, Alabama, Notre Dame, and Kerry State.
All right, and finally, you, Tex. I want to hear what you got to say about this. Who's your four teams?
I can't come up with four teams. I mean, it's, you know, yeah, I guess Notre Dame, Alabama, Georgia, Oregon, I guess, but now you're leaving out Florida, you're leaving out K-State. I mean, I don't know, man. I guess Bama, Bama, Florida, I mean, Bama, Notre Dame, Georgia, and Oregon.
Right.
Okay, but you're saying you would still pick Georgia even after the SEC championship game?
I think so, maybe.
So you would pick them even though they're going to play another team that you've already seen that can beat them?
Well, how close was that game? But that's why I say four teams. I don't know if I can pick four teams. I can take Georgia out and I can put Florida in there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's my whole point.
Yeah, it is kind of subjective on that instance because it's
that's what I'm saying. Any system where you pick teams, that's why I've always had a problem with, you know, with BCS anyway. It's like you're picking teams instead of having them play. When you take, you're picking teams. It's always going to be,
right,
you know, some sort of leeway or team. That's why I said, first of all, have all these teams in their conferences play each other. That way there is no three, you know, no three or four 7-1 teams at the end. I mean, 9-1 teams at the end of the year that haven't played each other, but they all got a stake to the conference championship, and one team might go to the national championship or, you know, something crazy like that. Have all these teams play each other.
first of all, you could eliminate, you know, any confusion. There wouldn't be confusion whether Stanford or Oregon or Georgia and Florida should go, you know, have all these teams play each other, first of all. And then maybe then you pick, like I said, pick, like, I agree. I actually agree with Tony, what Tony said last week. Then you take the conference champions and have them play. You know, to me that would be the best fair way to do it.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Tony with doing that too. It makes sense, champion versus champion. That makes a lot of sense.
Well, unfortunately, the system is the way it is now. So I guess we have to deal with it.
It's still going to be flawed. The other thing about, let's say more than four teams is undefeated. Then what are you going to do?
Well, like I said, that's why you have everybody play each other, though. And you know, it could happen, but it would be less chance of that happening if you had everybody play each other, where you're going to have four undefeated teams from each, you know what I mean, from every conference. You know.
All right. Well, let me go to the topic here. I was going to talk about it at the beginning. We were talking about Alabama and Georgia, so we know now the national championship game is set. Notre Dame versus Alabama. What's your outlook on this game? What do you think is going to happen in this game? If you had to pick right now, who do you think will win? Start with you, Kelly Mike.
Notre Dame, Alabama, that's tough. I've been looking at these two teams. Like I say, any other time, I would say Alabama, no doubt. But I look at Notre Dame, and, you know, I said on the other day on Cold Hard Truth, to me, they might be a better version of Texas A&M. So I'm thinking,
where did you get that theory from? Right,
you look at both teams. Both teams have mobile quarterbacks. Both teams play good defense. You look at the players and match them up. They're very identical to Texas A&M, except to me they have better players. They've got better running back. You know, a better one. And what, you know, you don't see that.
I mean, the quarterback, I don't think I would put Everett Golston in the same league as Johnny Manziel. I mean, Johnny Manziel is a little bit more he airs it out. And the thing with Texas A&M,
so Everett Golston threw over 100. You know, Everett Golston is the third all-time leading passer in high school football history.
I'm not worried about that. I'm talking about right now, Kelly Mike.
Okay, what is he?
You know, can I finish my statement? Goodness, bro. Let me tell you, Notre Dame, the difference, hold up. Texas A&M is not that spectacular in the sense of they are fast, no huddle, catch you off guard type of offense. That's what they did against Alabama. That's what they are. They are fast, no huddle. They don't huddle. They're kind of like Oregon. Texas A&M is more like Oregon than Notre Dame. They get in the huddle. You don't see that? Okay, all right.
Oregon has a dominant rushing game. Texas does not have a rushing game anywhere near what Oregon has.
But in terms of the pace of the offense, though, they're fast, no huddle, spread offenses. That's what they do. Yeah, you're right. Oregon has a better running game, but in terms of the type of offense, though, like
that's
spread,
the type of offense in Virginia
fast,
has too.
They run a fast spread, no huddle offense in Notre Dame.
Yeah,
they do. All right. To be honest, I really don't watch too much of them, but I don't remember them having fast, no huddle, spread offenses. No.
Dude, Notre Dame has been running a spread offense since
Fast, no huddle spread offenses. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, Oregon does run no huddle offense, you know, anyway. Yeah, but like I said, Notre Dame is to me the closest team in Texas A&M, except they have better players. I definitely see them have a chance of beating Alabama.
Okay. All right. James, what's your opinion?
I mean, I was thinking about it coming from, you know, yesterday's show that I had favored Alabama by 14 points. But, you know, thinking about it, I'm kind of skeptical about Alabama on the defensive side of the ball. Is Notre Dame is able to control the clock on offense or pretty much put it, you know, have it like, you know, the Florida State game was when Florida pretty much controlled the ball on offense, then they would have a chance to beat Alabama. I'm not really sold on Alabama's back seven. They've been showing weaknesses against LSU, Texas A&M, and Georgia. And so And so it might, you know, show itself against Notre Dame. I'm not sure if it will, but it can.
So if you had to pick today, who would you pick then?
I'd still pick Alabama, though.
Okay.
I'd still pick Alabama because, like I said, I mean, I don't see the front seven of Notre Dame stopping Alabama's rushing attack and the offensive line of Alabama. I really don't see that. I see another 200-plus yard rushing game from the Crimson Tide in that game. But with Nick Saban and Mike Soyoff and, you know, have a pretty big passing day by A.J. McCarron, just like last year's championship game.
Notre Dame has the number one defense in the country.
Yeah. But LSU had the number one defense in the country. Oh, hold on. Would you say Notre Dame's defense this year was better than LSU's defense last year?
I don't compare teams like that, so no.
Oh, really? Interesting. Okay. Interesting. Okay.
Would you say Jim Richardson is better than Eddie Lacy? Does it matter? No. So
there's no reason.
No, you can't. No, it's not Eddie Lacy. It's Eddie Lacy and Yeldon. You can't just do that. Hold on. Anyway.
Is either one of them better than Sherman Richardson?
No. Combined together, are they? Hold on. Combined together, are they better than Trent Richardson? Are you talking about?
No, they're not.
Let me answer the. Whatever, man.
I'm gonna answer for you. No, Eddie Lacy and DJ Yeldon combined together are not better than Trent Richardson. I answer for you. No, they're not.
I disagree with that. But anyway, let me go to Shot Town. What's your opinion? What do you think is gonna happen with the game? Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's another thing we say about that layoff, 40-some days not playing football. But, I mean, if I had to say right now, I mean, of course, I'd say Alabama.
And, Tex, what's your opinion? I already got an idea what you're going to say, but what's your opinion, Tex?
I'm going with Alabama. I think they'll push Notre Dame around. This game is going to be won in the trenches. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you got top draft picks playing on Bama's line. I just think that they'll be too physical in the trenches on the offensive and defensive line for Notre Dame. And I understand Notre Dame has the top defense in the country or whatever, but this is a different kind of beast that they're going up against. It's a different kind of speed. It's a different kind of physicality. And as for Bama's defense versus Notre Dame's offense, I mean, like I said, I think trench play comes into effect. While Bama's defense is not as good as it was last year, you still might have a deal where you won't see Golson make the whole game because there's getting hit by Purdue and OU and Pittsburgh, and then they're getting hit by Alabama. So, I mean, but I'm not saying that to be biased. I mean, ask Colt McCoy. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, there's, you know, and it's not like I'm wishing for a guy to get hurt, but I made a small bet with a guy. I'm like, hey, dude, I mean, you know, and he's a Texas fan. I was like, dude, I bet Colt McCoy don't last this whole game because, you know what, he's not getting hit. You understand what I'm saying? Same thing with Denard Robinson. So, against LSU, so, I mean, that's just my opinion. I'm not wishing injuries, but I'm just saying this is a different kind of speed, a different kind of tempo, different kind of physicality. And Saban will have his team up for the big game. Yeah, I mean, they don't flinch. And I'm not talking about the SEC. I'm just talking about Bama. They don't flinch in big games. I mean, period. It's like, okay, here we go. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So,
yep.
I mean, and like I said, Golson might not even make the whole game because he's getting hit by them Big Ten fools.
Yeah.
Now you're going to get hit by Alabama, and Bama won't hide. It's not like they're hiding. They're going to go straight at Notre Dame.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I just don't see. I mean,
defense.
What'd you say? Well, you said Johnny Manziel ran on that defense? Yeah, when the play broke down, he ran and scrambled. And it was a spread offense. Come on, man. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like – Cali Mike's like – it was like he ran over them, and that was not the case. It was like it kept Alabama off guard. That's what the whole game was. Come on, man. You know that. Come on, man. They playing just like Oregon. They kept Alabama's offense off guard. It wasn't like they were doing a high formation or running up and down the field over Alabama. That wasn't even the case, man. Huh? Excuse me?
How come nobody was hitting him hard enough out the game?
You talking about Johnny Manziel? How come nobody was? Because he would run out of bounds or slide. What do you think? The play broke down. He ran for the first down. Come on, man. But let me get my opinion for Cali Mike. I have to say what he has to say. My thing is, let me get my opinion in here, man.
I just don't understand. Why is it only out of game?
You're bringing up.
But then when the quarterbacks do get knocked out of the games, it's because of how tough the SEC teams are. But then when they get dominated again, it doesn't have nothing to do with it.
You got to say what you got to say then because you were breaking up. Say it again.
No. I said, how come when quarterbacks get knocked out of games for the SEC, it's because of how tough the defenses are. But then when they dominate the defense, there's always some excuse of they would slide out of bounds or the play broke down or this and that happened or it was raining or the coach cheated or something amazing happened. You know, why is it?
I mean, what other quarterback are you talking about? What other quarterback you talking about that was given an excuse for that?
Quarterbacks do it all the time in the SEC.
No, I'm talking about what quarterback against that dominated the SEC that someone gave an excuse for. Give me what quarterback you talking about.
You just gave an excuse for Johnny Manziel.
No, another quarterback. You said why always is that the case? What other quarterbacks are you talking about?
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you about Johnny Manziel. Why are you coming up with excuses?
No, let's take Johnny Manziel. I'm going to answer Johnny Manziel, but you're trying to say that we always say that. That's not the truth. But point is, with Johnny Manziel, let me address Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel. Tex was talking about it's a different type of speed. They're going to get hurt. You know what I mean? With Johnny Manziel, when Texas A&M was playing them, they were playing them off guard. They were having this fast, no-huddle, spread offense. So it wasn't like Johnny Manziel. With Notre Dame, they're going to try to run the ball in between the trenches and whatnot. When Johnny Manziel was playing Alabama, it wasn't like they were running in between the trenches or anything like that. It was like he was going out to pass. The play broke down. He was able to slide through the pocket and run in the middle of the field where there was open ground. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't like, you know, they were running in between the tackles type of thing at Texas A&M. And I think Texas is trying to refer to Notre Dame is not going to be able to run in between the tackles because it's a different type of strength and a different type of speed when he plays against the SEC, when Notre Dame has to play against the SEC. That's all we're saying.
Well, the good thing is that quarterback is mobile though to move around that pocket, though. That's the only good thing. He's not a straight pocket quarterback.
Well, I mean, it'll be an interesting game. My thing is, I just think that Alabama right now, Alabama's going to win the game. They just have to stay humble. I mean, you don't want it to be a situation like Miami, you know, when they went to Penn State. Miami was favored to win. And Penn State shocked them. You know, I don't want to see nothing like that. Just stay off the TV. Don't be arrogant. Don't watch the TV. Just focus on the game. You know what you got to do, and they can handle their business. That's just my opinion.
I don't think Alabama is that type of team, though. Or at least I don't want them to be.
Their fans are doing the arrogant stuff for them. The team doesn't even have to worry about it.
But what I'm saying is the players, all they have to do is just focus on the game. Don't listen to the fans. Don't get on TV. Just focus on the game. That's all they have to do, you know, because they're going to be hearing that if they're going to blow Notre Dame out. That's what the players are going to hear if they watch TV all the time. So, just focus. That's all they have to do, and they can take care of business easily against Notre Dame, in my opinion. You know, this is my opinion.
I have text
back on the line here. Text, you got something to say? Text, you there? I guess he's not here. Let me go to what you have to say, Mike.
And I was going to say, Mike, you were talking about Notre Dame fans that was walking all in water about, or are you talking about Alabama fans?
No, I'm talking about Alabama fans. I mean, like I say, if the game is going to be a blowout and you know it, why not be brash about it? You know, why not? There's a reason Miami lost to Penn State, because Penn State had a talented team and Miami got waxed. That wasn't because of them
fucking
themselves up.
They turned the ball over too much. They
turned the ball over. Hold on, let me explain. This is what people say. You say they turned the ball over. That had nothing to do with Penn State, though, right? That was just Miami just, oh, well, let me find right now.
Penn State turned the ball over against Miami.
Why can't anything ever be caused by the other team? Why does whatever somebody's team lose, it always has to be because of what their team did? Well, we turned the ball over too many times. So you just threw it into their hands and they caught it and ran for a touchdown?
You're right. Penn State turned the ball over from Miami. They won the game.
So Penn State was undefeated too, so I mean you gotta get on credit too as well.
Like I said, they're a talented. Like I said, you know, and this is what I've been saying the whole year. There are talented teams other than the three states of Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. They play football all across the country. The statistics prove that. I know everybody wants to act like there's this big SEC vacuum and all the football goes there because they're in the South and we're tough in the South and we do this and that. Everybody plays football across the country. If you if you think that there's a certain type of athlete that is created in these states that's better than athletes everywhere else, you got a mind problem.
No, nobody's saying that. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying in general, though, it's a perception that comes around the South that the South has these big football players. You know, when I first got the fan, that's all we used to hear about is that, you know, everybody in Florida is big and fast, and all these cats were 300 pounds running 4.3s, even though nobody could name all these dudes. And then, you know, and this and that, and Bell Glaze, and Woompy Woomp. But then when the schools from California and the schools from Texas start coming out to Florida and beating them teams, nobody was saying that. That's all I've been saying about this SEC thing. My thing is, yeah, they ball down there. Football is big in the South. But people play football everywhere else. You can't say, think about it, everybody, by default, Notre Dame. How are you going to say by default? They went undefeated, bro. It's not by default. They're undefeated.
Yeah, but when somebody looks at Notre Dame,
what more can Notre Dame do than what was expected of them? Win all their games.
Nobody's saying Notre Dame doesn't deserve to be in the national championship. Nobody's saying that.
I've heard by default it's been said at least twice tonight.
When you see them play, I can just look at them and I look at Alabama and I look at Georgia and I even look at Oregon. You know, they're packed in. I can be like, they're better than Notre Dame. When I just look on the eye test, on my eye test.
Because you looked at them, right?
I looked at them play. I saw
all their games.
Excuse me?
I said, because you looked at them, only one team has won all their games out of those games.
Yeah, Notre Dame has won all their games. But I'm saying Notre Dame doesn't go through a grueling schedule like in the SEC. Or they don't go.
What more could Notre Dame have done? What do you want them to do?
They could have scheduled some better teams.
I mean, what you want them to do?
No, schedule some SEC teams. Maybe they should schedule SEC teams.
I already showed you the schedule. These SEC teams are not scheduling teams out of their conference. We already went over that.
Yeah, whatever,
so,
man. Okay.
So basically, you're telling me any team that doesn't schedule SEC teams is playing a weak schedule, right?
No, I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm just saying Notre Dame.
Look at what Notre Dame played the best of the Big Ten. They played the best of the Pac-10, and they played the best of the Big 12. What more do you want?
They played
to
the
do?
Best of the Pac-10. Okay, they played Stanford, and
they played
the best
Stanford
of the Big 12.
And USC. And they played Michigan, Michigan State, and they played Oklahoma. What more do you want them to do?
But did they play the best of the SEC though? The best of the SEC is one of the last national.
So in other words, what you're saying is
national championship.
Unless you play an SEC team, your schedule is weak. That's what you're saying.
No, not necessarily. But right now, if you're Notre Dame in this era, if you want to play the best, you got to go to play the SEC in this era. Yes, because the SEC right now is the best conference.
The maximum length. To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3.
Yeah, I
hear.
I don't know what that is.
Press 4. To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now,
hold up.
Press
pound
or hang up.
Hello? Mike.
Yeah.
All right, something's
like
wrong
I'm, like
with
I'm,
Texas.
Like I'm saying, there's only so many teams you can play. Auburn can only put so many teams on their schedule. Alabama can only put so many teams on their schedule. Florida can only put so many teams on their schedule.
To cancel this message, press star.
I'm sorry.
Everybody can't play everybody. Like I said, look at Florida's schedule. To me, Florida had a soft schedule. You know, Jacksonville State. You know, like I say, when you got teams to play all them schools, but then you know, like I mean, it's you're comparing the same thing, but you're basically, like I said, what you guys are saying is they only play football in the SEC, and that's been proven not to be true.
But I'm just saying, right now, you gotta. I'm just saying, right now. But this is the thing. Notre Dame has their chance, right? Notre Dame beats Alabama, this is going to end all this stuff right here, okay? I mean, you'll be right. If Notre Dame beats Alabama, then you have a point. But I don't see it happening. You know, hold up, Texas, Texas?
Why would it take Notre Dame to beat them for me to have a point? My point is they play football across the country. I can look at the NFL All-Pro team right now and –
Oh man! All right, we have a technical difficulties right now. Shatan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, we're having some issues with the technical difficulties. We're gonna take a break real quick, and then I'm gonna get back with you in 5 minutes. Okay, CMT Firestorm.
Bring the real end of our trial. Today there'll be no remnants, no trace, no retention. The feelings within you, today you won't remember, man. Your face will be the reason I smile, but I will not see what I cannot have forever. I'll always tell you, I hope you feel the same. Oh, you played me dirty, you came up so bad. Tore when my affliction had to fill out my prescription. Found the way I'm a being, I had to set you free. Away from me to see clearly the way that love can be when you are not with me.
Back here, CMT Firestorm. We're going to continue the conversation here. We're talking about Pac-10. Me and Cali Mike, we're kind of getting into it about the Pac-10. He's trying to say that, you know, other conferences in this country play besides the SEC. Well, okay, my point is, Cali Mike, would you agree that the SEC is the best team conference in the country right now?
I'd agree they have some of the best teams in the country, not the best conference.
Are they the best conference in the country right now? As of right now,
by what?
Well, you can say the top teams. There are five or six teams out of the top 10 right now that are SEC teams. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, basically said, who are the top teams in the Pac-10? Stanford, they're in the top 10. Is there another top 10 team in the Pac-12?
Oregon,
Stanford, and Oregon. Okay, those are the only two teams. What about the Big 12? Who's the top team in the Big 12? Kansas State.
Oh, yeah,
that's right.
You got to buy USC, too.
USC is not in the top 10. SEC. SEC has the top. You can see that the top 10 have
the
SEC teams.
Has 13 teams, bro. Another got 14 teams, bro.
So what I'm saying is a lot of those teams.
That's,
That's 130, that's 130 of your conference, man.
Well, what I'm saying is a lot of those teams have
are
in
garbage.
The top 10. No, they're not. No, I'm talking about the teams in the top 10.
Yeah,
a lot of those teams.
Let me finish.
Well, we don't talk about the bad teams. What I'm saying is, and out of the good teams, they're very good. They have very good records. They deserve to be in. Would you agree that those teams in the top 10 deserve to be in the top 10? Would you agree with that?
I'd agree some of them, but like I said, since the conference is so big, let me.
All right, keep going. Say what you guys say, man. I think he's breaking up here. You're breaking up, Cali Mike.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I said if every team in SEC played each other, I wouldn't have any problem. But all these teams haven't played each other, man. That's why you got, like I said, that's why you got three and four, 11-1 teams. Because they all haven't played each other. Like I said, instead of playing Jacksonville State and FAMU, play each other. That's all I'm saying. And you won't have all that. You won't have this big clout of SEC teams at the end of the year that all have the same record. How do you even have all that? How do you have four teams at the end, five teams at the end of the year with all the same record?
So the Pac-12, hold up. The Pac-12, they play every single team in the Pac-12 every year.
This is the first year they didn't because they added Utah and Colorado. But before that,
right. So I mean, and the same with the Big Ten. The Big Ten doesn't do that either.
Yes,
the Big Ten, I know that. No, they don't. I know they don't.
They did before. But every team has added more teams to try to be like the SEC. But before that, every other conference played each other except for the SEC.
So the point I'm making is what you're saying is the reason. But you made a statement. You're saying that those teams are 10-1, 10-2. Because they didn't play all these other teams, whereas all the other conferences do the exact same thing.
They didn't play each other.
They didn't play each other, but, okay, I see what you're saying. They didn't play each other. Well, I mean,
that's all I'm saying. If Alabama had played Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, and LSU,
Alabama did play LSU this year. Alabama played Texas A&M this year, too.
South
Carolina got smoked by Florida. Never mind.
Hold on, Mike, because we're getting on the subject here. If all those teams played each other, they couldn't all. You feel what I'm saying? Somebody has to lose. That's why I said if they all played each other, I would accept a conference champion to come out of a conference legitimately where everybody played each other. But how? When you have
to
play each other.
Well, I mean, this is just a year. I mean, they'll play each other next year. The point I'm making is, I mean, I see what you're saying. It's just I still believe.
Last year you had LSU for the national championship, and they weren't even their conference champions. And they didn't play anybody.
Alabama wasn't the national championship.
LSU played the national championship, but they weren't the conference champion.
Okay. I think Texas is back on.
You got Florida sitting here mad because they're 11-1, and they didn't have a chance to win their conference championship, and they didn't play anybody else from that. Come on.
All right, Tex, you're back on?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, you got any opinion on our conversation?
What's going on?
He's just saying, I mean, we're going to get to the NFL in a second. We want to get into that. So this is going to be the last minute here on this topic. He's talking about the SEC is just getting too much praise, and he feels like other states, other conferences play football also. And, I was just trying to give him the example that out of the top 10, most of them in the SEC, and they rightfully deserve it. He's just trying to say that because they don't play each other, that's why they have those records. I just want to know what's your opinion on that.
Like I said before, it's simple English. The SEC got 14 teams. So if five teams are in the top 10, what does that mean? That means a third of those teams are garbage. Where is Kentucky? Where is Tennessee? Where is Missouri? Where is Auburn? Where is Arkansas? Where is Ole Miss? Nobody talks about those teams.
I mean, where's Colorado? Where's Utah? Where's Washington State? I mean, even so Washington, where are they?
Two teams that just now joined the conference.
Missouri. You said Missouri. Tell me goodness.
Okay. One team.
Are you ready to put it on that?
What team? Where has
Where has Ole Miss ever been except when they had Eli Manning? Where has Kentucky been in the SEC? You know, where is
the basketball?
Vanderbilt went 8-4 this year. And,
yeah, they're relevant
now. And they are.
I mean, that's relevant for Vanderbilt.
Let's make this point, Carville. Okay, look at Vanderbilt's schedule. They play South Carolina, Northwestern, Presbyterian, who I don't even know what that is, Georgia, Missouri, Florida, Auburn, Massachusetts, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and West Lake Forest. And they lost to South Carolina, they lost to Northwestern, they lost to Georgia, and they lost to Florida. Did they win any of those games? Win? You understand what I'm saying?
No, you're breaking up. Say it.
I said, okay. Look at all these SEC teams' schedules. Look at South Carolina's schedule. They lost to Florida and they lost to LSU.
Okay.
Did they win any other game that you think they were supposed to win? Weren't they supposed to be Carolina? Weren't they supposed to be Vanderbilt? Supposed to be UAB? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They didn't think that they could.
We can pull the look at who such and such played all day. We can pull that with any team in any conference.
Show me another sample. Show me another example.
Do what?
You don't understand what I'm saying. Say, look at their schedule. Everybody they're supposed to be, but they're not in the sense that we're not expecting them to.
You guys are kind of breaking up a little bit. I can't really understand.
I'm saying I expect to beat Townsend and to beat Auburn. They didn't beat South Carolina. They didn't beat Texas and Anna. You know, I mean, If you play five teams that you know that you're going to beat every year, you're not showing anybody anything.
There's still a pecking order, though. I mean, there's still a top and there's a middle, and then there's a bottom. I mean, you know, this is another reason why I want Alabama to whoop Notre Dame's ass. It's because I'm tired of people sitting back. I mean, it's like, no, the SEC is overrated and blah, blah, blah. It's like how the New England Patriots was winning all them years. And then
Not the same. Tex, you don't get it. Nobody's saying the SEC is overrated, man. We're just saying that there's a bias against them.
Because they were the dominant team. Because it's like the Cowboys when they were winning in the 90s. Somebody, please whoop Dallas's ass. You know, we can say, look here, they're not this good. Hey, if anybody else is better than the SEC, hey, go beat them in a BCS title game. And then if they lose, they'll be 6-1 in the last seven. Everybody's gonna be happy. Everybody's gonna go have a party. They're gonna drink. They're gonna pop firecrackers. They're gonna do everything if Alabama loses. That's why I just want them to keep winning. You understand what I'm saying? Because I don't want to see Boise State winning. You understand? It's like in the NFL.
You don't want to see them. Boise State has been competitive with those teams.
Okay.
You know, they were competitive against Georgia in an off year. Come on, man. Don't even go there. All right.
But off year? What is an off year? What does that mean?
I don't even want to get into much of this because I still want to get into Jonathan Belcher. So, I mean, my only thing is about that Boise State. They competed against the SEC when they played Georgia, and when Georgia was one of our weaker SEC teams last year. I mean, come on. Even though they Georgia was not in the –
What makes them weaker? Because they lost?
Nothing. All right. I ain't got nothing to say, man.
Was it different players? Did they not have Matt Stafford and A.J. Green? What makes them
different? No, they didn't have Matt. No, this was last year. This was last year.
Well, they had A.J. Green. What makes them different? They didn't have A.J. Green last year.
A.J. Green was a rookie last year.
Well, okay. You know what I'm trying to say, dude. Quick, I'm crazy. What is the main difference between that Georgia team and this Georgia team? I don't get it.
What's the difference between that Georgia, the last Georgia team, and this Georgia team?
And last year Georgia was first in the SEC East too, by the way. So and they were 11.
Yeah, they were. When Florida was down, when South Carolina was down last year, when Florida was down last year, South Carolina was. They weren't as good as they were this year. They weren't as good as they were this year. Georgia didn't have to play Alabama last year.
They weren't as good because they lost.
Who, Florida and South Carolina last year? They weren't as good as because they lost games. Yes, that's what they weren't as good as they were this year. Florida last year and South Carolina last year was not as good.
Okay, hold on. They lost.
I don't
want to
go too much into this. I still want to get into John DeGulcher.
They lost to Alabama.
Okay, keep going.
They lost to Alabama. They lost to LSU. They lost to Auburn, and they lost to Georgia, and they lost to Florida State.
You talking about Florida?
And they lost to South Carolina. Talking about Florida.
Yeah.
Which one of those games weren't they supposed to lose? I mean, what? I don't understand. Why are they bad because they lost those games? Why is that considered a down year?
Because Florida's usually a good team. Florida's usually on the top of the pecking order in the SEC, and you know that.
But they
come on, man.
You understand? This is one year. Last year is one of the first few years Florida actually played all the top teams in the SEC, and they got their butts whooped.
Right. They did. They got their butts whooped.
What does that mean?
They had a new head coach though, too, Mike.
They had a new head coach because Urban Meyer was ran out the SEC.
A new head coach doesn't mean you're going to be 6-6. Come on now, don't.
It's not. A new head coach is not an excuse for 6-6. Are you kidding? All right, whatever.
Not if you're Florida. Who gets top 10 recruits?
If you're any school, that could be an excuse. Trust me. All right, I want to make a – hey, Tex, I want to get Tex back in here, and I want him to make a last comment on this because I really want to get to the NFL. What's your last comment on this?
On what?
Well, what were we talking about as far as, like, Cali Mike's argument about the SEC?
Well, look, let me say one more thing. I'm looking here at the NFL All-Pro team. Aaron Rodgers, I see Marines Joe Drew, I see LaShawn McCoy,
oh,
I see Calvin Johnson, Wes Welker, Rob Gronkowski. I don't see nobody from this big SEC conference on here.
Okay. We're not talking about what they do in the pros. We're talking about college right now.
Okay, but if they're
this conference is by far
the best in college football.
It is right now.
Players go to the pros and dominate too?
I think that's when you. I think that's not when you talk about a football conference. I think you matching each individual team up against the other one. We just talking about overall conference. What else?
No, you're talking about the top of the conference because, like I said, you guys aren't talking about the bottom of the conference. You're talking about the top. You're talking about the top third of the conference. The top third of the conference of the SEC is better than the top third of the conference in any other conference of college football. I admit that. But the where are the mother two-thirds of that conference at? They're in the toilet, and nobody talks about them.
Right.
Where are the two-thirds of any other conference? They in the sewer.
No, they're not.
They're not?
No.
All right. Hey, where's his name? Matt talking about Big 12 was best conference because they got 9 bowl eligible teams. Well, those guys that just win 6 to be bowl eligible. So
I'm putting it.
Get a bowl.
I got James back in here. Let's get James back in this conversation here. James.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah.
All right, one point, you were talking about, like, Boise State beating Georgia, and I think Clark Bell said that Georgia wasn't a down year. If I'm not mistaken, Georgia won the SEC East that year.
I just told him that, man. Thanks.
But hold on. They beat Florida. Wasn't Florida down that year? Wasn't South Carolina down that year? Wasn't Tennessee down that year? South Carolina was not down that year?
No, they weren't, because they were tied with Georgia in that same thing. Remember, because they were talking about, oh, man, we beat Georgia, but Georgia's going to win the SEC title game that year because they had the same record in the conference for Georgia.
But they were 11-2. Yeah, they were they were 11-2. They lost to Auburn and they lost to Georgia. I mean, no, they beat Georgia. They lost to Auburn and they lost to Arkansas. And Georgia only lost one SEC game.
And got,
that's
and
why
got,
Georgia
and they got stomped by Boise State.
Hey, who did Georgia lose to last year though in the SEC? What team? They lost to South Carolina. All right.
Hold on. I don't want to go too much into this, really. Everybody had their piece. I got you. We've been arguing about this. We're like 30 minutes. We're 30 minutes into our NFL time, and I kind of want to get into the NFL, all right, because I don't think there's going to be – we're going to have to all agree to disagree here. Let's talk about the Jonathan Belcher situation.
It's so much explosive right now, though, man.
Yeah.
It's more explosive than NFL. You know, we like NFL, but it's all about college football to the end.
Is that what y'all want to do? Y'all want to talk about college football to the end?
No. I want to talk about Javon Belcher.
All right, so let's go into the Javon Belcher situation here. What's your thing about this? What's your opinion on what happened? Obviously, for people that don't know, he killed himself after he killed his 22-year-old girlfriend, who was who they had a kid with, a 3-month-year-old daughter. And you know, he took his life, and there was a lot of outrage over the league about this. What is your opinion about what went down, and just the state in general? I'm gonna start with you, Kelly, Mike.
I think it was a tragedy. It was something, you know. Obviously, like I say, from what I've heard, this man was crying out for help. You know, I don't understand, you know, who was in his circle and who couldn't, you know, really, you know, why there wasn't really more attempts to get him the kind of help that he needed. But you know, from it seems like this is kind of now starting to turn into a crusade against firearms and you know, and it always does, you know, whenever something involved with a gun, you know, it always turns into, you know, we need more gun restrictions. People should have guns. You had what's that cat's name? Bob Costas, you know, if Javon Belcher hadn't had a gun, this wouldn't happen. Guns are not the number one mode of suicide in the United States, first of all. So, you know, that point that he made was irrelevant. I understand, you know, yes, firearms can cause a lot of violence, but more people are killed by car accidents than guns. But you don't hear anybody saying let's not drive cars anymore. You know, so I mean, I just think it's a tragedy. I think he was a disturbed young man, but you know, people always try to have little incentives to boost their own personal crusade. You know, even in this great tragedy, you know, like I say, you got people talking about, you know, like I say, it's focused on guns, whether he was having concussion syndrome from being in the NFL. You know, it always sprouts off into something else. When really, you know, like I say, we're starting to overlook the tragedy of what happened, which is a young man, you know, took somebody's life and then took his own life.
All right. Shatan, what's your opinion?
Man, that's kind of a sad thing. I didn't know about that part. You know, I learned something new when Mike was saying he was crying for help, but I was seeing on some reports that the Kansas City Chiefs knew he had some problems and they were giving counseling to the guy, so... I wonder, you know, what happened, you know, him, you know, outraged him to shoot his, you know, his girlfriend, his baby mama and kill himself in front of, you know, Romeo Cornell and Scott Pioli and some other people from the Chiefs. I think the linebacker coach was there. Like, man, you know, it was just, they know that part that, you know, I guess we didn't really know this man was having problems like that, but it's still kind of sad. But I know Mike was saying about the suicide thing, about how it came with guns. Also, too, you got people that take pills and all that other type of stuff of drugs where it's suicide as well. So it's not just guns.
True.
Tex, what's your opinion, man?
Firstly, the chief had been reaching him. The chief had been doing counseling sessions with him and the young woman for some time. Did you guys know that?
Yeah. But today.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a while. And I mean, he I guess he has like a history of of domestic abuse or violence or whatever that I was reading earlier. But it's just, you know, it's an unfortunate situation. I mean, who knows what it how it escalated the way it did. I know they were having problems with money. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, money, you know.
What kind of problems could they be having with money? I mean, he takes over a million.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I guess we could say that, you know, because we not there.
He had a Bentley. He had a Bentley, yo.
Huh?
He had a Bentley, man.
Hey, hold on, guys. Can somebody turn down the speakers? A lot of echo again.
He had a lot of money. So, I mean, he had a Bentley.
Like, yeah, Bill Gates money or something? I mean, what's a lot of money?
No, man, he had a lot of money to get a Bentley.
But, if you get a Bentley, that means you have a lot of money. I mean,
this is the thing about a lot of money. You know, it's like, okay, like you say he had a Bentley. If you have a certain amount of money, what are you supposed to drive a Toyota? I mean,
You can drive whatever you want.
When you work hard and you get a certain amount of money, you're going to want a car to match that, right?
Yeah, most likely, yes.
Yeah, you're gonna be custom living in a certain lifestyle. So I mean,
yeah.
You know, rich people have bills too. I mean, it's just they're making more money, but they're also spending a lot more money. You know, when people think about money, we look at it like what we would do with that money with our own lives. Yes, you know, living in my house because my mortgage is only $1,500. Yes, I have $500,000. I could live off that forever. But no, if you're living in a house where your mortgage is, you know, $5,000 is gonna, you know what I mean? It's different levels of stuff. You can't, you know, we can't just say, oh, he had a Bentley, he shouldn't have to worry about money. In my opinion, oh, he had a Bentley, he has to worry more about money because he has a Bentley. It costs more money.
Well,
what I'm saying is, I mean, it's, you know, it was money. Apparently, there was a little bit of. it was a deal to where the night or two nights before she was out with her friends. He didn't want her to go out or whatever. He was back. He went somewhere, but he came back early. She was out all night.
Yeah,
or whatever.
At a Trey Songz concert or something.
Huh?
She was at a Trey Songz concert.
Yeah. But the thing, as far as the Bob Costas and Whitlock deal. I hardly ever agreed with Whitlock. I thought Whitlock was all right. I mean, I didn't have a problem. I thought he was dead on. As for Costas, he just kind of echoed Whitlock. And, you know, the thing about it is everybody always wants to hear what they want to hear. You know, they don't want to hear, you know, more gun. I mean, you know, Texas gun guy doesn't want to hear, oh, you need to – to make it harder for people to get guns. Everybody's always uncomfortable when they look at the TV and they don't hear exactly what they believe in. You know, everybody kind of gets ruffled. You know, you just want to hear what you like. It's like Fox News and then it's MSNBC. I mean, They say the football game wasn't a forum for that. But you have sports shows it's like we sitting here right now. We got a sports show, but we talking about life right now. You understand what I'm saying? And you got other sports shows where they talk sports, but they discuss life. They discuss all different kinds of issues. It's not just secluded to sports, so people are offended and claim that it wasn't a forum to be talking about it. I mean, those people just have to go get a life and learn how to listen to something that's different than what they're used to. You know what I'm saying? It's called growing up.
Oh yeah, on that point, I totally agree. Like I said, I think people got to realize sports and life go hand in hand. You know,
it's kind of like, you know, I was telling a lady friend of mine, sports is kind of like guys' reality TV. You know, we get to see a different kind of lifestyle. You know, a lot of us play sports in high school, so, you know, we get to see guys playing, you know, playing professional sports. And, you know, sometimes when you get to peer into their personal lives, there is some sort of attraction to that, you know, but then, there, you know, there's also an ugly side to it. So, you know, like I said, I didn't have any problems with Bob Costas, you know, with what he was saying. I didn't agree with it, but I didn't have any problem with the fact that he said it. I mean, I think, like I said, I think more people in sports should use, you know, their positions as a forum to, you know, to get their positions out there. I think, you know, pretty much everybody else, and, you know, and when whatever actors do it all the time, you know, so I wouldn't have any problem with athletes doing it. So.
Well, interesting.
I was gonna have a question that I thought we were going to kind of say. Psalms said they probably should not have had played the game at that time because, you know, the other team, the Panthers, you know, they knew that the Chiefs were going to be, you know, it's very emotional, you know, when that happened. So they were saying they wasn't sure if they were going to play the game. You think it was right for them to play the game at that time or could
they
postpone it?
They decided to play the game. They made their decision. It was their decision.
I thought they should have played the game. I thought it kind of inspired them. I thought it was like, hey, let's do this for, you know, the people that got victimized or whatnot. Maybe they did it for Belcher. Maybe they did it for Cassandra Perkins or whatnot. You know, so I kind of thought it was a good idea they should have played the game. I mean, that sounds kind of weird, but, you know, I just think, you know, I thought that tragedy could have motivated them to, you know, play the game for the people falling. So, but, you know, some people had their own opinion. They felt like they shouldn't have played the game. So it's whatever. I mean, what's your opinion on it? What's your opinion, Tex?
On what now?
Should they have played the game or not?
I didn't have any. I mean, it's my thing was, okay, NFL. I mean, I don't think it was the NFL's decision in this case. I mean, they kind of left it up to the Chiefs, the coaches, just the organization, the team captains. They decided they wanted to play. So, what are you not going to play? You're going to sit at home? I mean, life goes on. I mean, what are you freezing for? You have to get up. You have to move on. It's a process. Grieving and getting over things like that, it's a process. You don't sit down somewhere and you just do it right then and there. I mean, you know, you got to keep it moving, and you have to deal with it as time goes by. But in the meanwhile, get on this field and play some inspired football, and, you know, go on with your life after that.
All right, let's get to the next topic here. Chad Johnson came on ESPN First Take today. It was a very interesting interview. Did anybody see that interview today?
It's on YouTube. I was on the same thing. It's on here right now.
All right.
Well,
it was interesting. You know, he kind of explained why he was removed from the Dolphins. But I guess the question is, do you think he's going to get another opportunity in the NFL? Let me start with you, Tex.
It's hard to say. Nobody came. You had teams dealing with wide receiver issues this year in a big way. Nobody came calling. Now, do I think Johnson can probably help a team? Yeah. Still has his foot speed, still quick. But, people just don't. I mean, it's, the show's over, man. I mean, nobody wants to deal with all that stuff. And I don't have a huge – I never had a huge problem with Chad and his quote-unquote theatrics. Even when he was in Cincinnati, I didn't care. I mean, he was a great player. And, I mean, if he sucked, I didn't care. But – I think it's probably over. I think everybody has moved on from Chad Johnson. You know, Randy Moss gets his opportunity because he's Randy Moss. Plax, he gets his opportunity. He doesn't do anything. You know, he's still lazy on his out route. But I think it's pretty much over for Johnson. I don't know. I mean, nobody called this year, and you had a rash of injuries, the wide receivers, teams hurting. and nobody called. So it's just, I think it's, I mean, it's tough for me to see if he'll get another opportunity. I think it's over for him.
All right, what's your opinion, Tex?
Tex?
Yeah,
yeah. Tex, but Chi-Town.
I was going to say, if T.O.'s not back and he had a tryout back in preseason with the Seahawks, and they let him go, and Terrell Owens is not playing now, and, you know, Terrell Owens is older, but Terrell Owens did have a better productive year than Chad Johnson's last year in Cincinnati. I should say T.O.'s year in Cincinnati. And Tex made valid points, man. It's December time, and all the stuff that's going on, the injuries, and no one gave him a call. I mean, Chad Johnson was a forgotten man. I mean, you know, months ago, you know, that incident that happened, you know, when he got cut and, you know, situation with Evelyn and all that type of stuff, you know, that was months ago. You know, it seemed like that was like, I'm like, seeing longer than that, but it was only several months ago. And now we're saying about this, and season is pretty much, the NFL is pretty much almost half over. I mean, not half over, it's almost over. We got about maybe 3-4 more weeks left, and it's over with. So, I mean, he ain't getting no ring now. I think he done as well, and his play was starting to decline too, you know, so to go with it. And I don't think anybody, like you said, if he was, I never had a problem. I agree with Tex. I never had a problem with him showboating, doing like that, because, I mean, he's a football player. He was just having fun doing what I do, where the media and some people make a big deal of it, but, you know, all that other stuff, like, now you see it's done, you know what I'm saying? You're an athlete. Live in the moment now, and one day it'll be all over. And now I think he has accepted that that's over with now. So, and I don't think anybody would give him a chance in the NFL. Maybe he play in some other league, not football or something, may give him a chance or something. But I don't think I think he's seen the last of him in the NFL.
All right. Callie, Mike, you got an opinion on this?
Yeah, you know, it's like we said, I forget what show it was. It was earlier this year. Talent dictates a lot of stuff, you know. When you get out there and perform, you're going to get away with a lot more stuff than you can when you can't perform. Now, Chad Johnson, he can still perform, but he can't perform like he used to. Ergo, he can't get away with the stuff he used to. You know, me and Texas talking, we know quarterbacks who had cocaine problems and all sorts of other stuff, but these guys were at the top of their games when it happened. So, you wouldn't even hear about it, and you wouldn't even hear about it. And you know, most of the general public don't even know about it. You know, but
who had a cocaine problem?
I'll tell you later. But but you know, it's different. You know, when you can perform and when you can't. You know, it makes a large difference. And, you know, Chad Johnson has to realize he's older now. You know, people are expecting him to take more of a leadership role. You can tell Randy Moss, he's not performing the same he used to, even though I don't know, he's still probably fast. He is. He's taking more of a leadership role in that locker room. And that would be what Chad Johnson would need to do. You know, and I don't know if that's in him. You know, it's hard to be a leader in one thing when you can't even control your regular, you know, you can't even control your personal life. And it's obviously not stopped. You know, I read something, him and his mom and a girl are still going back and forth on Twitter and, you know, this and that. It's like, come on, man. You know? When does it stop?
Oh, him and Evelyn still going back and forth along with his mom?
Yeah, it was him, his mom, Evelyn, and I think his new girlfriend or something was all trying to get into it on Twitter or something trifling crazy that he didn't even have time to read the whole article. So, you know.
I forgot also, too, he's saying that he's still in love with Evelyn. I'm thinking, like, come on, Chad.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
you don't even really know that woman. You know, you're talking about you love her and all this stuff, and pretty much, I mean, got involved with her, and your career in football pretty much now, I mean, NFL career in football is pretty much over, you know? So, I mean, I think, too, he just got caught up in that, you know, even for his plays, you know, with declining. He just showed you he really wasn't. He just cared about entertaining, doing reality and all this stuff. Really, wasn't you know doing what he was first doing or making himself being you know a top receiver. I think he just got away from that.
Well, I mean, like he set himself pretty. I mean, he set himself well for his post-NFL career. I think he's making money, you know, so at least he has that to fall back on. I don't know. I'm kind of – what do you think is going to happen with T.O.? I'm kind of more concerned about T.O.'s mental state. You know, could T.O. be – not necessarily kill somebody, but could he be a Javon Belcher and try to commit suicide or something like that?
I mean, that's a highly volatile character. You know, I mean, so when he was crying, you know, even if everybody was, you know, parroting him, and I think he was crying about when he was in Dallas. I mean, that dude, you know, he's a highly volatile character. He's definitely somebody I'll keep an eye on. But you know, like I said, it's a situation. They're self-clear. It's like at the point, it's like stop. You know, if you see what you're doing isn't working. You know, if you see, you know, basically, if you fire. And it burns you, okay, you understand the fire is hot. Now, if you do it again, it's your fault. You can't keep doing it. You know, it's going to stop, you know? You know, like I said, he's had numerous times to stop it and turn himself around, and he hasn't.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, all the money pretty much down broke. And like I said, don't be surprised in a few years of Chad Johnson being in the same situation, being broke. You know, you hear stories.
No, it's not even about being broke. It's about turning your fence around. These cats, you know, like I said, T.O. is like, okay, dude, once you start getting bumped from his team, that means you know that it's not always the team. You can't, you know, maybe it's something wrong with the 49ers. But once you get bumped from Philly, once you get bumped from Dallas, that means it's not the team. That means it's you. That means it's something you're doing. These teams not wanting us to do it. That means you need to stop. And look at yourself and change what you're doing. And he hasn't done that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just who he is, man. Tex, you got anything to say about that?
No, I don't have anything to say about it.
They said it was some kind of complaints, you know, when he was in Seattle with some things going on too a bit. They were saying,
I know it was. It's like that dude. It's like everybody has that friend. It always has a girlfriend, and he always breaks up with the girl, and he gets a new girl, and he breaks up with her. And the only answer he has is, oh, that girl is crazy. That girl is crazy. Like, okay,
yeah.
Dude, after five girls are crazy, that means you're crazy. You know, because it's either you're magnet for crazy girls, or you're the one that's really crazy. It can't always just be nice. That girl, she's crazy. No, it's you.
Yeah. Or you just like dating, or either you crazy,
or
you just like dating
crazy girls. Or you're making these girls go crazy. Or he's, you know, like I said, T.O., you're making these teams go crazy. Stop.
Well,
you're right, though. I am kind of, because I mean, that's a guy, too, definitely a lot of stuff going on. Cause I know he ain't, you know, at that stage, you know, hopefully everything is all right. But I know, you know, it's tough, you know, being a year away from football, too. I should say 2 years. I forgot 2 years out of football.
All right. Well, okay. Let's get back on the football. The Redskins, they beat the Giants on Monday night. Do you think they have a realistic chance of making the playoffs? And do you think RG3 could be a potential MVP candidate? Go ahead, Shatown.
I mean, I know you have. We had this debate last week about them, but I was like, hey, that was a big win through the Giants. Like, wow. So, I mean, they got a chance. They do what they do. And Tex did say their schedule was favorable from last week's show. As far as RG3 being the MVP, I don't think he's going to be MVP, but he's in that rookie consideration to be a rookie, but I don't think they're going to give him an MVP.
All right, Tex, what you got to say about this?
I think there are tons of MVP candidates. It just depends on your point of view. Can the Redskins make the playoffs? They have a shot. I mean, the NFC East is kind of a CF at the top. The Cowboys have slid back into it a little bit. I don't know what they're going to – I mean, they got Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, they got Washington again. They kind of have a rough go at it. The Giants do too. Redskins have the easiest end of skid out of all of them, so it's possible they could make it. The division winner probably is going to be 10-6 or 9-7 or something. At worst case scenario, somebody mess around and go 8-8 and come out of the NFC East. But they can definitely make it. And as far as Griffin III being the MVP candidate, I think he's offensive rookie of the year candidate. I don't know about MVP, but I mean I think he is, you know, up there. But it's like I said, there's plenty of guys that deserve it, but there's only about 2-3 guys that should be at the top of the list. And I mean you can't, you know, it's just not to take away anything from RG3, because he can do everything. But the skins are not asking him, RG3, to do a lot. They're running the ball. They're asking him to throw 15, 20 times a game. And you look in Indianapolis and look, okay, here, Andrew, go throw 50 times. Go win. You understand what I'm saying? With four of your top targets being rookies with a bad O-line with one of the worst rosters in the NFL, but we're always playing from behind. Go throw 50 times, go win us a ball game. So, you know, Griffin's doing an excellent job. Hens aren't asking him to do what the Browns, not the Browns, but what the Colts might be asking Luck to do, or what, and even though he has a lot of support, even Russell Wilson, you know. But, I mean, yeah, he's a bit of an MVP candidate, but I don't think he's, I mean, you have to talk about quite a few other guys before you start talking about RG3 being a top-notch, bona fide, most valuable player candidate.
Well, I mean, yeah, if he can get the team, you know, in the playoffs, I think they're gonna pump him up for MVP. I mean, I don't think he'll win it, but you know, he'll be at least in the top five consideration. Would you got an opinion on this, Kelly, Mike?
Well, I look at, you know, RG3 and Andrew Luck. You know, they play the sexy position of quarterback, so they're going to get a lot of publicity. When I look at Washington, how's RG3? I got to look at Alfred Morris. This is a dude who's a 6th or 7th round draft pick, and I think he's, what, 2nd or 3rd in the league in rushing?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's balling out of control, man. And he's, you know, you're not really even hearing nothing about it. And this, you know, I'd say he has just as much to do with RG3 success as RG3 does. It's very easy to run when you got a running back who, you know, who's putting up big numbers like that. I think he rushed like a 142 this last game, didn't he? You know, I mean, he's pushing it down. You know, you gotta look at, you know, big picture. Like Tech said, you know, they're asking a lot of Andrew Luck down there and up there in Indiana. You know, they're a very bad team. You know, even though I tried to tell Tech, I think that's the same thing that they're doing to Cam Newton down in Carolina, even though he thinks that their roster is better than Indiana. I don't know that much about that, but you know, it's harder to do when you got somebody asking a lot of you, you know, and you're performing. You know, I think that's one of the main differences between Luck and Newton right now. Is Luck is putting up the W's, Newton leaving. So, you know, it's like I said, but you know, RG3, I mean, that dude's awesome, man. You can't say enough about it. I mean, it was hard. I could see him winning the offensive player of the year for sure. But you know, it'd be hard for him to win an MVP, in my opinion, when you got Alfred Morris, you know, being a top five in rushing like he is. So I don't know.
Also, too, Andrew Luck, though, I think, like I said, this team, you know, this team right there, how it's looking, is gonna probably be in the playoffs. You know, where they playing? It's like, man, I mean, he just, you know, all the hype came with it, but hey, he been playing, man. You know, this team won only 2 games last year, and then going to be in the playoffs. I mean, come on. I mean,
all right,
pretty much with the same roster.
So if you guys had to do the number one pick over again, would you do Andrew Luck or RG3?
I still go Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I still go Luck.
You still go Andrew?
I was saying RG3, but, you know, they both two heck of a quarterbacks. I mean, hey, just keep it how it is, though.
Also tell you the truth, it really depends on, a lot of it matters on what team you got too, you know. I mean, to me, like I say, Andrew Luck, he just fit right in there at Indiana. You know, to me, too, you know, like I said, I think RG3 is a perfect fit in Washington. You know, I mean, I couldn't see him fitting any better with any other team than where he is. So I think the draft is right where it was supposed to.
Yeah. I mean, you think.
All right. Well,
we can,
would you? Well, I would take. I mean, I would take RG3 only because, you know, he takes care of the ball a little bit better than Andrew Luck. But, like, I didn't even realize, like Callie Mike said, I mean, he, RG3 has a pretty good running game. I don't necessarily know if Andrew Luck has that with him. But Andrew Luck does have a number one receiver, though.
But, Clausell, Luck has...
You talking about Reggie Wayne?
Yeah.
Griffin has wide eyes, too. You got... Luck is basically throwing the rookies besides Wayne. And, if, I mean, you're going to not take care of the ball so good as... If you're throwing 50 times, then the guy who's throwing 15, 20 times, you know what I'm saying, he's going to take care of the ball. He doesn't have opportunities to really throw interceptions like that. And I mean, still, Luck is not killing his team.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd ever actually ever even consider him being a true number one receiver, to tell you the truth.
Really?
I think Reggie Wayne,
I mean, just think about it. Even when Tate was there, you were hearing about Pierre Garçon and other wide receivers were outdoing Rich Wayne, you know? It's, you know, and before that, you had Marvin Harrison there. So, I mean, you know, and has he ever really been, you know, a true one?
I guess. Well, our time's up here.
Okay.
One last comment, shout down.
I was going to say, what do you think about Mike Shanahan? You think Shanahan is right for RG3?
Yep. Right now he is, yeah. But, you know, we'll see how it goes year to year. Because, you know, Shanahan can mess up a quarterback, man. He sure can. But anyway, all right, that's going to be it for today. If you want to listen to us again, we're on blogtalkradio.com. We'll post our Facebook page. Any questions, any concerns, go to CMT Firestorm, our Facebook page. This is, once again, CMT Firestorm. We're out. Peace.
Deuces.
Bye, y'all.
Monday in the snow, referees whistle blows, weekend warriors toe-to-toe.